Today we're glad to have from our conference office, Pastor Eldon Ramirez, and I will turn the time over to him.
Happy Sabbath, everyone. Happy Sabbath. Has it been a happy Sabbath so far? You know, it's oftentimes wonder about that terminology, because the truth of the matter is every time we meet on a Sabbath day, you have a great percentage of our brothers who are happy, but a large percentage of them are broken. They're hurting. And so when we greet each other, it's always good to remember not only to say happy Sabbath, but may God be with you, and may he give you his strength. Let us pray. Father, this morning we've come with the only purpose in our heart to praise your name, Lord, for who you are, for what you've done in our lives. For some of us, it's a very happy Sabbath. For others, it's not quite there yet. But regardless, we come to praise you because we know that you are the mighty living God, that I know exactly what we need, and we know that you never get to us early, but you always come right on time. So for those that may be broken this morning, just ask your blessing, and you'll give them the opportunity to tune in to today's message. Don't let anything distract them from your word. And those that are rejoicing as well, that together we may listen to your words through Scripture. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last time I was here, I had my little ones with me, and they sang a song. And there's an English song we sang together as a congregation. I don't know if you remember. Well, just 2 days ago, I thought about singing that with my kids. I said, you know, that's a nice song that we probably can sing together. So I'm going to invite Eleni and Jasmine to come up. They come here. They come with me. Oftentimes when I get to travel, bring greetings for my wife, by the way. She's not able to be with us here this morning. But my little ones are. And there's a song we've been practicing on our way out here, and I thought we'd sing it together to honor and glorify God. And I'd like them to be part of the ministry as well, if you know what I mean. So the song goes, this morning, we read in the Scripture a certain passage that is written in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Three out of the four Gospels thought it was extremely important to put that down on the written word. Now, if you recall, John said, if we were to write down everything that Jesus did or said, there would not be enough books to cover it all. Remember that? So, obviously, they only wrote down the things that were extremely important to them, or they thought that everyone needed to know throughout the generations. And Mark, Luke, and Matthew wrote it. You read it from Matthew, and now I would like to invite you to read it from Luke, in the book of Luke, chapter 18, verse 15. Luke 18, 15 and 17. Luke chapter 18, 15 and 17, through 17. And it says, "Then they also brought infants to him that he might touch them. But when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them to him, said, 'Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it.'" And then Mark, if you have your Bibles, Mark chapter 10, verse 13. Mark 10, 13. "Then they brought children, little children, to him, that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, 'Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it.'" Now, those are the three guys that wrote it down, Mark, Luke, and John. Three of them say pretty much the same thing. But one of them says he was very disappointed. In fact, if you go look at the original language, he was upset. Or in normal teenage terminology, he was ticked off. He was angry. He didn't like that. Because there were parents that were looking forward to bringing kids to Christ. They wanted their kids to have that encounter with Christ. That was their opportunity to do so. But for some reasons, the disciples that meant well decided that Jesus didn't have time for that. There were other more important things to worry about. The adults needed to listen to the master. The adults had problems. The adults had issues. The adults were heartbroken. The adults were struggling. The adults needed attention. So the little ones were not as important to the disciples. Not that they weren't important beings, but it's just that it doesn't quite make it to Christ's agenda. So they were protecting Christ from having all these mothers and all these parents come in with children to them. Well, Jesus wanted to make sure that everyone understood that it is imperative, it is important that we dedicate time to our children. Now, the Adventist Church got it right from the very beginning. This is the latest Pathfinder pocket guide that came out just last year. And it says right here that in 1879, the local churches and schools decided that it was important to invest time in our little ones. And they started the Junior Youth Society. They decided back in the 1800s that the children were important, that we needed to spend time, that we needed to dedicate time. And if you were to read the history of our church, the Junior Society later in the 1920s, 1927 to be exact, became a Pathfinder Club. Decided that it was important for the church to invest in those little ones, because if we didn't, then the outcome was going to be a tragedy. Now, this morning, I would like to share with you seven reasons why youth leave the church. And if you have pen and pencil, you might want to get some of these down for you to remember later. But seven reasons they leave. Did you know that 3 out of 4 Christian teenagers walk away from church after they leave home? 3 out of 4. So just think about it. It may apply to this church, it may not. So I've only been here once at another different program, so I don't quite know your families, nor I know how many youth or children you have, nor how many you've had in the past. But you know better than I do. So does this make sense? Does that apply to you, church? Statistics shows that 3 out of 4 Christian teenagers walk away from home, from the church after they leave home. In other words, they keep coming to church because mom and dad bring them to church. But once they're no longer home, then it's no longer a priority. 88% of the Southern Baptist Convention Family Council. Actually, let me go back. The Southern Baptist Convention Family Council did a study, and they came up with a staggering number of 88% of their youth leave the church. 88% of the Baptist youth leave the church. Lifeway Research Institute had a study in 2007, and they came up with 70% of their youth leave the church. Assembly of God did a study in their church, and 66% of their youth leave the church. And Barna did a study that shocked the nation, that across all Christian religions across the board, 61% of the youth leave in their teenage years. Sad. Now, what's the number one reason they leave the church? According to the study, the number one reason youth leave the church is because the local youth ministry is not meeting their needs. So just like the adults were gathering around Christ, trying to find the answer for their problems, the adults were having the struggles, the issues, the problems, the health problems, the emotional problems, the psychological problems, and everyone wanted to have that encounter with Christ. But do children, are the youth having to deal with certain issues? Do they need to have that encounter with Christ? And who's meeting their needs? Example, 1 out of every 2 marriages end up in divorce in the United States. That means that every child that you see out there, 50% chance that they come from a house that is broken. Do they have problems because they come from a family that is broken? Yes or no? Yes. Is a child hurting? Yes or no? Yes. Do they hide it well? Yes. Where do they hide? How do they hide? Where do they go to hide it? Television is probably the number one solution. You know, you got a television or video game. So I'm not here to talk against these things, by the way. I'm just saying that's where they go to because they just need to hide. They need to go somewhere. So Barna Research Group says that every teen has different needs, questions, and doubt. So helping them to wrestle through those specific issues and to understand God's unique purpose for their lives is very significant. So that's why the Adventist Church back in the 1800s said, we need to come up with a society. We need to come up with something that would provide answers to our kids, that would have something for them, not only for them to do, but to train them, to equip them, to get them ready for what's coming ahead, for what they were going to face as they grew older. Now, what are those needs that we're not meeting? Now, listen to this. One of the needs that they're struggling with is the search for identity. As a young person moves from childhood to adolescence, they come face to face with difficult challenges. They begin to search for answers to questions like, who am I? What am I going to do with my life? And where am I going? And can I get there from here? As I work in summer camp, that's probably, I believe I have one of the best jobs out there because I get to deal with the little bitty ones, adventurers, and I get to deal with the pathfinders, and then you get to see them at summer camp. So at summer camp, you deal with all the college students, young adults. So they're from 18 to 23, 24, getting right out of college. And I guarantee it, every young adult that comes to camp or one of them works, they have that same question. What am I going to do? Should I stay in this path? Should I take this job? Should I change my major? And a lot of them at camp throughout the summer, at the end of the summer, says, well, I'm not going to do education because I can't handle this. I can't be with restless children 24/7, you know, 7 days a week. So I said, no, I'm not going to do this. And they change. Some of them switch to education. Some of them decide to do something else. But it's interesting because they are searching. So the first camp established, or the first summer camp ever in the Adventist Church was in 1925 in Australia, and later here in the United States in 1926. So the church has been very intentional. And when I mean the church, I mean the organization, you know, the General Conference, and back in the days of North American Division and so forth. Now, the question is, what's happening in the local level? Are we taking advantage of the resources that the church has out there to make sure that we meet the needs of our youth and our children? So let's go on. Angie, 18, a senior in Newton High School, said, "Nobody's listening and nobody really cares." And that's a typical answer of our youth. Nobody's listening. They don't even care. Teens feel they cannot give honest answers on the issues they're facing without facing possible negative repercussion from parents, Sabbath school teachers, and youth leaders. Now, what is it that they're saying that we don't care about? What is it that they feel that we don't even want to give them a time of day, or we don't want to listen to them? Well, the troubles of today are similar to the troubles back in the 60s or even in the 50s. Drinking, remember Al Capone back in the days? He had, he started introducing alcohol and so forth, and youth back in those days were challenged. Obviously, later on, as time progressed, things started getting more difficult. And then you had drugs, dropping out of school. Nowadays, pregnancy, gangs, and premarital sex, poverty, racism, running away, suicide, AIDS, and believe it or not, illiteracy. Today's teenagers have problems, and they're embarrassed even to read. And if you put them in a spot, they feel they don't want to go to school. They don't want to answer because they feel embarrassed that they won't be able to read right. Now, the Children's Defense Fund did a study, and they came up with some very interesting numbers. Every day in America, 135 children bring guns to school. Can you believe? Every day in America, 135 kids bring a weapon to school because they're afraid that something's going to happen to them. Every day in America, 437 children are arrested for drinking and driving. And notice the study says children, not youth or young adults. Every day in America, 211 children are arrested for drug abuse. And when they ask why, it's because things are really difficult at home. Mom is fighting with dad. Dad has left, or maybe mom has left. Maybe dad lost a job and mom doesn't have a job. And we heard today there's issues, there are problems that we're having. So are we addressing those at the level of the children? Are we meeting their needs? Are we listening to them? The Department of Health and Human Services said the following. The United States has the highest rate of teenage pregnancy and birth in the Western industrialized world. One-third of all girls in the United States will get pregnant in their teenage years. Can you believe that? And that applies to our youth as well. Every year, around 750,000 teenagers will get pregnant. That's almost a million young ladies. A million, almost. Unmarried teenagers having children account for 24% of all unmarried expectant mothers. More than two-thirds of all teenagers who have a baby will not graduate from high school. Among whites, the rate increased from 43.3 per 1,000 to 44. Before, it was Hispanics and blacks. We would hear that often. But now, it says among whites, the rate has increased. Teen pregnancy cost the United States more than $6.9 billion. And I'm going to pause there for a second. The United States government, $6.9 billion a year. So is the United States at least trying to address the problem? Yes or no? Yes. If they're putting $6.9 billion to help young ladies, then they're trying to do something. They're trying to do something. The question is, what are we doing? The Obama administration is launching a $110 million pregnancy prevention initiative to try to help young ladies in this stage and this problem. Now, another problem our youth are having, and our conference is no different. Suicide is the third leading cause for death among youth between 15 and 24. Can you believe? I was preaching in one of our churches about 2 years ago, and as I'm coming up the platform, I get a little piece of paper that said, "Pastor, please pray for this family because this young man, they just found him in the closet. He committed suicide." This is Central California Conference. I'm not talking about New York City or Seattle, Washington. I'm talking to our conference. Every 1 hour and 54 minutes, an adolescent takes his own life. How long does a church service last in Merced? From the time we begin till the time we finish, would you say it's about 2.5 hours or so? About? Can you believe that every time you're having a church service, if you know, statistically proven, a young person commits suicide? That is some sad numbers. For every completed suicide, there's between 100 and 200 attempt suicides. My wife works in the ER department, and sometimes she comes home broken, sharing how some of these kids come to the ER department, and they're just cutting themselves, trying to end their lives, because to them, we, the adults, are not listening to them. Second reason they leave the church. Many are seeing the unchrist-like behavior in the adults, such as parents, friends, spiritual leaders, and pastors. So what they see is different than what they hear. I hope that's not happening here, but in a lot of places that's the case. What kids and youth are seeing is not—it's not the same. And that's why the Pathfinder program is interesting. Did you know that right now, even though in North America it might not be as strong, but the fastest growing ministry in the Adventist Church continues to be the Pathfinder program? And the reason why is because this is the one place where the adults get dirty with the kids. I mean, they're right there pitching a tent. The adult may have no clue how to pitch a tent. But they're honest, and they tell the kid, listen, I have no idea. Help me read the instructions. And right there, they're rubbing shoulders one by one, you know, trying to figure this out together. And it's raining, and the water gets in their sleeping bag, and you have this adult there, maybe a 60 or even 70. We have even 80-year-old Pathfinder leaders in his conference. They're sleeping on a tent with their kids. So the teenager feels that, wait a minute, this lady that sings and plays the piano at church is right here with me, side by side. Or this lady who plays the organ at church, or the lady that is leading up front, I mean, she's right there. And she's cutting pickles, or she's cutting tomato, and she's making a sandwich. And, hey, would you go home and get that for me? And stuff that they're not experiencing at their house. So they are together eating and have something to remember when they get back home. Pathfinders continues to be an amazing, amazing ministry. They get to see the Christians in action. Some of them say what you see is not always what you get. Rainier did a study that of 1,000 young adults who left the church, the second motivation for leaving, it's the following. In quotes, church members seemed judgmental or hypocritical. That's the reason. That's a thousand youth said that when they left and they did a study on them. Now, third reason. Christian young people are leaving the church at an alarming rate, mainly because they are not equipped. We're not equipping them to examine, you know, atheism, to question the different teachings that is out there. You know, give you an example. My sister and I grew up in a church, and I'm a lot older than my little sister. So when I left church to college, she was no longer able to continue to go Pathfinders. So she was in Pathfinders for a very short period of time. So the only food she got was at Sabbath school, okay? Now, unless we're intentional about teaching our kids in Sabbath school about atheism and the challenges they will find in college, they'll have a hard time when they get to college. Well, she went to Berkeley University and then transferred to Davis, right there, UC Davis University. And when she was out there, she was questioned. Her faith was questioned. And she wasn't quite sure how to respond to some of these questions. And to make a long story short, she left the Adventist church. She's now a devoted Baptist with the wonderful husband. And we've had conversations back and forth. And to this day, I often wonder, what would have happened if she continued to stay on, continue to be fed, continue to be trained and equipped? So if she had gone there, would she remain faithful and continue to stay focused on her Christian Seventh-day Adventist beliefs and principles. The study shows that that's not the case. When we don't spend time with our youth and equipping them, they eventually end up leaving. 4, youth do not have a clear understanding of salvation. They don't. You ask them, how many of you guys feel you're safe? And a lot of them feel uncomfortable raising their hand because they don't know whether or not they're safe. I hope that's not the case in this church. I hope if I say, how many of you guys are saved? All of you raise your hand. He says, yes, we're saved by the blood of the Lamb, by Jesus Christ. Many of our youth are not sure whether or not they're saved. 5, we are not making disciples. There are certainly effective youth ministries across the country, but the level of disengagement among 20-something suggests that youth ministry fails too often to disciple, to equip, and therefore they end up leaving the church. No youth ministry opportunities. 6, and we're finished on 7. No ministry opportunities. Youth are not empowered to serve and lead. But Pathfinders, do you empower them to serve? Yes. Do you empower them to lead? Yes. So see, our pioneers had it right when they got started. Someone said, Pastor, if I didn't have to wear a uniform, I'll be in Pathfinders. Because it's true, you know, it's a uniform sometimes. May not be the most comfortable thing to have. But you know, last time I was here, I was wearing my civilian clothes, I call it. And then when it is a Pathfinder event, I wear my Pathfinder. And I'll wear it with honor and respect. Because pioneers back in the days felt that through the uniform, it could be also a tool to train and equip others, to teach discipline and so forth. In every kid, there is a leader wanting to be developed. That was said by Tim Harris, Leadership Education and Development. In every kid, there is a leader waiting to be developed. Do you agree with that statement? I don't know if you recall this, but there was an evangelist who came to Adventist church. He was preaching his heart out, and people were coming, like always. But then, if you recall, I don't know when was the last time you had an evangelist or crusade here, but if you recall back then, and whenever you did have one, it starts really nice. A lot of people show up to the opening night, and then as you keep getting into the crucial messages, then people start leaving it. Eventually, you only have very few to stay behind. Well, there's this young man, there's a youth that didn't want to attend the meetings. And the father said, listen, son, I honestly feel that you ought to come with me. And he says, no, Dad, that's not for me. He says, come on, son. And then there was actually a party going on close to the school. It was like a school event that was close to the church. And then he says, okay, son, I'll let you go to that gathering if you come with me to church first. And he says, okay, notice none of them were Adventists at the time. Nor the father or the son, he was just interested. So they came, the son didn't even come in, he was just staying in the background, no one gave him a time of day. Then after that, he went to his gathering, school gathering, and the following night says, come on, son, why don't you come with me? And then his son came, and it just happened to be that they were talking about a very interesting topic on prophecy. And then he says, don't miss tomorrow, the evangelist said, because we're going to talk about the mark of the beast, 666. So this youth said, I don't want to miss that one. I want to see what that's all about. So he came and started coming night after night after night. But when the evangelist made the appeal at the end of his crusade, expecting to have a good number of people giving their life to Jesus Christ, only that young man gave his heart to Jesus Christ. And he felt that he had failed. He said, as an evangelist, as a preacher, I failed because I only got this kid. He did the baptism and so forth, not knowing that that kid is Mark Finley today. Now, was there a leader in that child? Yes. Has he brought people to Jesus Christ? Yes. Not hundreds, not thousands, but hundreds of thousands. Even though this adult felt that he wasn't doing all that, he was beginning to plant the seed to train and equip through teaching the Word of God that fell in the right soil in this young boy. Became one of the greatest evangelists the Seventh-day Adventist Church have ever had. So we don't know here among all of our kids. You got 2 beautiful girls right here. You got a beautiful boy right there. They are amazing leaders waiting to be developed. You got a bunch of young kids right there. They're just amazing leaders waiting to be developed. Got some in the back. You have them here in the church. Now, is it uncomfortable to wear a uniform? I'll be honest with you, it is, especially during fair. We have 114 degrees out there, and it's extremely hot, and trying to wear a uniform, you're sweating. But I'm thinking, when a kid is looking at you, it's like, wow, why did you get that? I want to get one of those. Well, this is, and how do you get that? Well, when you get baptized, you get one of these. Let's go, really? Oh, yeah. And what's this? Oh, when you finish your class, friend, and what does that entail? You know, a lot of people are afraid to get involved in Pathfinder because they say, I don't have a clue. I've never been a Pathfinder. But let me share with you a little secret that I don't share with many people. This is called the Pathfinder gear bag. Now, as much as I want to tell you that I know it all, I don't. I've been involved in Pathfinder ministry all my life, not knowing that one day God was going to call me to be a youth ministry full time. But till this day, I always carry my little cheat bag, I call it. I don't need to know the ins and outs of Pathfinders to the dot. I need to know what the principles are. I need to know what the mission and the vision is. We all can learn that. Once you know that, then you have everything you need. I mean, right here. Think about it. I don't know the songs. All right. There's a kit right here. You have the Pathfinder song, the music. You can print the lyrics, and you can learn, even if you don't know how to play an instrument, even if you don't know how to sing, you put this in there, and it'll play for you, it'll sing for you, and you can teach the kids will learn it. The Pathfinder logo kit, I mean, I don't even know what the emblems are. Oh, there's a kit here. Just sit down a few minutes, look at it, it's like, oh, okay, that's what the, what does the color mean? Oh, all right, that's what the red means, the blood of Christ. Okay, I didn't even know what the, all right, you go through it with the white. What is the white? Oh, purity. And the Bible verse that goes with it, it's like, oh, wonderful, okay. Now, you don't know much about plants. You're going to go with the kids out there, like you have no clue. Nature Bound, Pocket Field Guide. I mean, this is nice stuff. You have right here, edible plants. You have poisonous plants. You have first aid. I mean, you name it. Anything that, and it gives it to you by regions. What part of the United States you're from, I mean, where you're at. I mean, this is amazing. Did you know the most Christian churches out there, when they hear about the Pathfinder program, they're jealous. They say, wow, we wish we can have this in our church. We wish that we, and some of them try to implement it. And there's actually a church that is starting to come up with something similar to Pathfindering. But there are long ways to go. So I'm trying to encourage some of our leaders to say, hey, share this with them. I mean, it's kids. We want the kids to enter the kingdom. We want them to learn. And they don't have to reinvent the wheel. We have all this stuff. Now, as I look right here, you don't know the history? It's okay. There's a Pathfinder history book right here. 7 Steps for Success, Pathfinder Leadership. I mean, you talk about the AY story. I mean, everything you need. And the nice thing about it is that you have those little cards. They even have them in French, Spanish, Portuguese, you name it. Even in Chinese. You just ask what you need. Class telling you what the kids need to do. And the nice thing about it is that you as a person who's helping with this ministry, you don't have to know it all. For example, there's one honor that is storyteller. Well, just find somebody in the church that's the best storyteller and says, can you go ahead and teach this class? And that person only has to teach that one class. Now, how many here would be opposed to teaching one 30-minute class to some kids? Just one class. Okay, how many be willing to do it? Just one class. Okay, wonderful. Let me ask, how many of you know a little bit about mechanics? Just change oil change. How many of the guys? You know how to, okay. So there's actually an honor, just simple mechanics, how to change the oil. Imagine a whole bunch of kids right there. What's your name, my brother? Norm. So Brother Norm is right there, bunch of little kids, for the first time ever. So what is this? This is a filter. It's like, well, there's different types of filters. So you have these kids, all you dedicated to those kids. We're 45 minutes. But Brother Norm will impact their lives in ways you can even begin to imagine. When they get older, they say, man, there was this church member, Brother Norm. He was the friend. And now he's changing his oil. He's now with his girlfriend, soon to be married. And now he's changing his oil on his vehicles. Like, who taught him? It was Brother Norm. You made a difference in his life. You dedicated 45 minutes to these kids. They'll never forget. So when it comes to Pathfinder, you don't need to know it all. All you need to have is the church saying, wait a minute, let's bring the children to what? To Christ. Christ says, bring them to me. And so together, we work together to save our children. We work together to give what we have. I mean, how many of the ladies know how to bake bread? May I see your hand? How many, you know how to bake bread? Okay. Would you be opposed to bringing the tools and the materials here, and you're going to teach the kids how to bake bread? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Just 45 minutes or an hour or whatever it takes to bake bread. But you have those kids there with you, and yeah, they may get full of powder or whatever, but church becomes alive, is a living organism. Church is real now. Christianity takes a shape, a taste. You can hear not only the songs, but you get to live Christianity. See, the Adventist church had it right from the very beginning in the 1800s. They said, this method works. Pathfinder or the Youth Society is something that has been in place so the church can work together as a team that we may save our children by bringing them to Jesus Christ. The seven reasons I share with you, but I'll leave with the last one. What's the number one reason? In fact, the number seven, I forgot, I did six. The seventh reason they leave the church is they are not accepted. They feel that they are not accepted. There's no place for them. Christians' sociability is altogether too little cultivated by God's people. By social intercourse, acquaintances are formed and friendships contracted, which results in a unity of heart and an atmosphere of love. Written by Ellen G. White, Testimony to the Church, Volume 6, page 172. Sister Wright had it right from the very beginning. She says we have to fellowship. We have to spend time. We have to bring together and create friendships. We have to make acquaintances. We have to be united. And when we do that, there will be a spirit of love. Then she goes on to say, in volume 9, page 189, if we would humble ourselves before God and be kind and courteous and tender-hearted and pitiful, there would be 100 conversions to the truth, where now there's only one. Sister White had it right. But what I want to know is the reason they don't come back to church. Because we all know the reasons they leave, and there's more than seven. Wouldn't you say there's more than seven reasons they leave the church? Oh, there's more than reasons, more than seven reasons they leave the church. But what I'm interested to find out as a youth leader, as a youth pastor, as a brother in Christ, why don't they come back? What's the number one reason they don't come back? That's what I want to know. And you know what the answer is? There's a four-word sentence. There is no love. Those that haven't come back to church, that's the number one reason they say. There is no love. I'm glad that that's not the case here. So far, I've been here twice to this church, and I felt welcome. I felt love. And I'm a stranger. So I bet among yourselves, you love each other. Well, the youth need to feel that. And what better way to continue or to begin to invest in the children, starting from the little one to the older? Because see, once they're teenagers and they leave, it is really hard to get them to come back. God's mercy and grace will be with them. God will guide them. And eventually, we pray and hope they come back. But did you know, listen to this, that the number one reason why ex-Adventists, young adults, in a survey done not too long ago, the number one reason they came back when they had children was, do you know why they came back once they had their children? Because they wanted them to participate in? You know what? Yes, in Pathfinders. So the young adults that had their children that were never involved in it, didn't have anything or memories, anything attached to it. But the moment they had their kids and their children, they said, I want them to be a part of this. I want them to taste what I tasted, to experience what I experienced, and to learn what I learned. And they decide, I want them to come back. Now, what happens when the church doesn't have one? Where does that young adult with the little ones go? If there's a church close by that have one, well, they'll go eventually, may end up going there. But if not, they want to come back home. They want to come back here. So I praise God that this church is doing that. I praise God that your church has decided to start a Pathfinder ministry. I praise God that not only Pathfinders, but adventurers as well. I praise God that this church wants to go back to the basics and to follow, you know, the vision of our Adventist Christian pioneers back in the 1800s that had it right all along. They said, it is time that we work as a team and invest in our children. It is the number one heritage that we can give our kids, and that's their faith in Jesus Christ, in the gift of salvation.